But let us turn our attention now to him and offer this time into his hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your love never gives up on us, working tirelessly day and night, working in us both to will do for your good pleasure. And Lord, it is your good pleasure that we're here today in your presence to hear your word, to follow and worship you, to give you all the glory. Lord, we now turn to you and we ask that our hearts will be open to receive your word now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I have a title here we're going to talk on, and we're calling this teaching Standing Fast. Standing Fast. And I want to start this off from the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 27. And this is a letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippi. It's interesting that this was the first church that Paul found in Macedonia. And he is exhorting them to continue to stand in the faith because the work is being hindered. The enemy is having a go, like he does. He tries to attack in whatever way he does, but he says, I want you to have the same mind. I want you to rejoice always in the Lord. Commit everything in prayer, supplications, thanksgivings. And he encourages them to stand in the faith because from his own experience, which he gives, he knows what they're going through. And with that, we can take this up in verse 27 of chapter 1, where he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he clearly opens up that our standing and enduring, which Jesus also tells us to do in Matthew 24, is helped and aided by our fellowship, our hearing the word, our coming together, being faithful, praying one for another, all of which helps us to stand in these last days. And I think we're beginning to learn more and more the value of this, because it's interesting that as we're coming to the close of this dispensation, we know in the book of Daniel in chapter 7, verse 25, where he speaks of the rise of the Antichrist, the beast system, how that he's going to try and wear the saints out. He can't destroy the body of Christ. No weapon formed against it will prosper. But what he will try and do is just wear us out. Get us to be tired, weary, and so on. And I think every one of us can say amen to that from our experience, how we have all been subject to how the enemy just tries to wear us out in whatever way he can. He just gnaws away, little petty things so often. And this I see more than anything, what he's trying to do with the body of Christ and true believers that are pressing in to be part of the bride of Christ, the overcomers. But he says here, the apostle, he says, stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's why we are desperate for the word. Because the word helps us and encourages us to stand fast. And the Lord is addressing the very thing today, is he not? So we're being called to stand like never before. We are being attacked by the powers of darkness. What is it to go back, to retract, to just compromise? And to side with the powers of darkness and so on. But you see, we are not blind to his trickeries and how he works. And in due time and season, God has a way of opening our eyes and showing us what he's up to. We wouldn't know otherwise unless God exposes the powers of darkness. And that's why we pray, intercede, get in spiritual warfare, because in the right time, God has a way of exposing, opening, showing his plans that he's up to. Because often he's trying to trick us. He's trying to hold us in a vice. This is how he works. He never comes blatantly outward. He is subtle. That's why he's depicted like a serpent, silently moving. And serpents can get in crevices that human beings can't get. So we're not ignorant of his vices and how he works. What does 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 tell us? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, he says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." So again, the apostle comes out with this in his final exhortation. As he writes to these Christians here, he's telling them to watch. And that's what we've been talking about. We can only watch, we can only see if we are men and women of prayer, because prayer helps to make one watchful. And it enables us to be able to stand fast in the faith. And when you are standing in the faith, it enables you to be brave, or to be strong, in other words, not to be fearful. Fear will always make us retract and go back or compromise. But as God is working his love in us, we know that there is no fear in the perfect love of God. For the love of God roots out all fear. It can't remain. If the love of God is there, fear cannot be there. And we are being made perfect by our enduring, by our standing, by coming, being faithful. This is how God works this within us. And this is what's going to show those wise virgins who will stand, who have that extra oil in their vessel. And here it is, by standing, allowing the Holy Spirit to build and to work through us, not by might, not by power. It's always by the Spirit. Works, good works, will not do this. This is why I say so often, sadly, the most busiest Christians are the ones who will not be those wise virgins, because they haven't time for that extra vessel of oil to put in their vessel, for the light to stand in the last days. You see, I always find that those who are very, very busy, well, when you talk with them, you'll often find, oh, well, I do get tired, but you overcome that because your busyness just puts it all to one side. So they don't get tired, these people. Something wrong. God has called us always also to rest. He's called us to wait on him in that attitude, in that consecration. And it's those who are waiting on God where the devil is attacking to try and wear them out. gives itself away in the end. Because busy Christians are not aware that the enemy is trying to do that. They're busy in works, doing things. You see? And the problem is with the five wise and the five foolish. The foolish are not learning relationship with God. They're not really loving him as they should. And there is the problem. That is the giveaway. The bride is in relationship. She's making herself ready for marriage. And there's the difference, you see? And that is why she's the target. And this is why the Holy Spirit is saying, stand fast. God's saying, I know what's going on. I know how the enemy is trying to attack, but I'm exposing him so that you can see what he's up to. And here it is. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let everything what is done, he says in verse 14, it's done in love. And where do we get our love? From the Lord, our relationship, our consecration with him. Now this understanding to watch, it means to give strict attention, to take heed, in other words. Like now, what God is saying as he teaches us, he's saying, give attention to what I'm saying to you. Take heed. Because this is all in connection with the Lord getting us ready for the coming of the Lord in the clouds first for the overcomers. So he's saying, take strict attention to this. Don't just let this be another teaching, another meeting. This could well be our last meeting before we meet the Lord in the air. We do not know. And so every meeting, everything that we hear is in the attitude as though this will be the last teaching I'm receiving. So I've either got it or I haven't. And that's what he's meaning, to be strict, to watch, to give attention. Take heed, because we are to stand fast, to persevere. Our Lord brings this out as a divine principle. And of course, speaking in the last days, which we are rapidly moving towards, you know this well, in Matthew 24 and verse 42 to 43, Matthew 24, 42 to 43. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken in. And one of the subtle ways that the thief breaks in, spiritually speaking, is getting you busy, doing your own thing. That's how subtly he does it. No, he calls us to stand fast, to persevere, to persist, not take no for an answer. I've come thus far in this walk. There's no way I'm going back now. That's what it means. For example, if we see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, again, he brings us out to these churches and he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In this context of what he's referring to and exposing is getting back under the law, bondage. You're free from it in Christ. This is what he's addressing to these Christians, because some of them want to go back under the law. And we've got it today in Christendom. You've got a group of Christians want to go back under the Mosaic law. Oh, and they've got an answer for everything as to why we need that Mosaic law of today. It's tragic, it's sad, but there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new with the way doctrines of demons work. When they started in the early church, they're still the same today. And so he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. So if the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. Don't get bound, fettered up. And very often the enemy tries to use our weaknesses in which to do that. And so we see by our standing, this is what makes us strong. It enables us to be able to grow, to mature by standing. So your standing is the power and grace of God keeping you. Your standing today, my standing today, is God's grace and mercy and power for the purpose to be able to grow and mature in the faith. So it's wonderful that not only are we called to stand fast, but in that standing, it enables us, he empowers us to be able to stay with it, to grow and mature. See, you cannot go wrong with the promises of God. This is what's so wonderful about it. For example, if you see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So how does he do it? The apostle says here that he strengthens you in the inner man by the Spirit. His strength, not yours, it's him. For the purpose that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. There it comes back to our unity and fellowship and oneness, you see. So be aware then that this standing makes us stronger for growth to become Christ-like. And that's why the Word of God enables us to be able to stand. For faith comes as we hear the Word of God. For example, again in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians 6. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you can only be effective in spiritual warfare if you stand, you endure, stay with it, keep in prayer, keep in warfare. Sometimes our warfare is for a season. It's not just a one-off thing. It's staying with it, continuing, keeping in the battle, in the spirit, in warfare, until the giant's head is removed. All you've done in warfare is just stunned him, which is what David did with his sling, with the stone. But we know he then went and took the sword of Goliath and cut off his head. And that pronounced him as dead. finished, done. And it's the same with us. Sometimes your prayers are not being answered or hindered because you've not prayed it through until the sword has done its final blow. And God will show you. God will keep you with it, pressing in prayer, in warfare, intercession. And he says here, in your warfare, stand. Have the armor of God on you. Put it on. That enables you to be able to stand in the evil day. And the days are getting evil. They're getting worse. And so we need to be able to stand by the grace and mercy of God. And that is why he calls us to be watchful. And to be watchful, that comes by prayer. To be watchful means you are seeing what the enemy is up to. God has given you a bird's eye view, like the eagles that fly and are able to look down with that tremendous eyesight that God has given them. And so he gives us that strength, that encouragement. He gives us the power. He gives us the authority. He continues to make us active on waiting upon him. You see? It's not just a waiting and just dropping off to sleep or doing your own thing. No, our waiting makes us spiritually active. Soldiers. Being trained, being prepared. Because we're facing unprecedented times. They tell us that we are in the new industrial revolution. We're in the time of technology, AI, the digital world, the microchips, connecting the brain now, hybridization. They're trying to work on human beings, medically as well, to try and stop your strokes or paralysis. Now creating artificial limbs. We're in the times of the robotics, where you now can buy a robot now. You can go to the store and the robot will walk out with you. And what is that doing? Replacing jobs. And it's always now the big question, although governments don't get together on this, how do humans integrate with AI? They're not getting together on this because unemployment is increasing as it all materializes. And they're having to rethink now. And rethink the economies. They are doing away with capitalism now. No need for it anymore. You're going to be kept by the state. And this is why taxes now are going through the roof to finance all of this. To finance all these migrants that are roaming, going around the world. And all that's coming into this country as well. Who's paying for all of this? We are. Taxes. And what does it do? It creates debt. Countries, Europe is in massive, massive debt. In this country, I heard recently, we are in debt of over $1 trillion. You can't get your mind around it. This is all the powers of darkness changing everything. I read it back to you. Read it again from Daniel 7:25. He's going to change the times, the systems, the way things work. We're all seeing it happening. They're all saying, what is happening? Even the world says it out there. Your family are saying it. It's not like it used to be. It's all rapidly changing. We're coming to an age where you will own nothing. They don't want you to own a house, a property. And the way the economies are geared, it wars against that. They don't want you passing on inheritance to your family, to your children. The powers that be, the elite, want to control the lot. And you've got Christians who are blinded to this. They don't want to see. They're foolish virgins because they're not paying the extra cost for light to see. It's cheap, it's free, but it's not cheap. You have to do, you have to obey what God shows us to do. And what is he telling us today to do? To stand fast, be watchful, continue in prayer, continue listening to the word of God, and so on. Not rocket science. Because we see that Satan's out to control the world. And soon this leader is going to come on the scene. And he's going to control the world through the mark of the beast. Revelation 13. I've said to you, the beast is beginning to speak through AI, through technology, through your phones. And taking the mark will be a sign of worshipping the beast, which will be the ultimate of blasphemy. The beast, it's speaking, is to counterfeit the Holy Spirit. And I'm warning them online not to listen to this AI that they want to hear, that's teaching them the gospel. Oh, but it's right what we hear. We can't find anything wrong with it. Of course not, because the enemy is subtle. He's going to let you hear some truth for a while. And then slowly the poison is added. That's how he works. Because the Bible says he comes like an angel of light. Of course he can speak the truth if it suits him. But in nature he's a liar, a thief, a robber, a murderer. That's the point. And you can never trust anything or anyone like that. Even though they might have spoken the truth at that point. But their motives are completely the opposite. And Satan's motive is to rebel against God. And he's going to come against God's people. To turn their hearts against Almighty God. He's mocking. It's already starting. But how many are listening? And that's why we're called to stand fast in the faith. I know we can feel very vulnerable at times. I know in these times of tiredness, when it just seems nothing's happening, or it seems like God isn't answering my prayers, or whatever it would be, it's so easy to become weary. And just, you feel, just give me a break. I'm just going to go off and do my own thing and have a change. I know those temptations. I know how it can assault your mind and take it over almost. But something within you holds you and anchors you. And you realize there's a power and strength that in your weakness you're made strong and you find yourself crying out, Lord, don't let me go. And it's like God says, my grace is sufficient. I don't know how he does it. Sometimes you cannot put these things into words when you find your flesh and your heart has failed you. That's being human. And we don't have to apologize for that. That's how we've been made and created. But the difference is we have a new life within us now. And that is the life of Christ, risen, glorified, overcome the world, given us all these promises that we can stand and confess. How will we know we stand fast unless we are tried? Unless our faith is tried and tested, how will we know? That is where it's purified, in the fires, in the trials, in the valleys. Anyone can confess, I'm an overcomer, and when you're on top of the mountain, when we've all done it. What we promised God we're going to do is nobody's business. But it all changes when you go down into those demon-possessed valleys. All quite different. But that is where you are trained. And yes, brother, the training is in those deep valleys. When the demons are speaking, they're fighting against you, trying to get you to compromise, to go back, lying to you, and so on. That is where you are trained. And when you are at your weakest, you can simply cry out and say, I am at my strongest right now in my weakest time. This is where my strength is made perfect in weakness. Say it out. Speak it out sometimes. I do. I just want to hear myself say it. I want to say it to the powers of darkness. This is where I'm growing up. This is where I'm truly being trained. When everything is against me. But one thing I can say, God is for me and he is with me. And he's with me right in this trial. He's with me right in the flames. Because he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. What a promise. And then you find yourself, you come out the other end. And you haven't been singed. It hasn't touched you. But one thing you come out knowing, I saw Jesus in those flames. You see? It's wonderful. It's wonderful how God does this. And you know that this is your training. You know that this is working together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You just know it. And yes, it can be very real. The enemy's temptations can be very, very real. But it's where you meet the Lord. Because how often have I taught you, as I bring this to a close, that he says that in your weakness I make you strong. Our Lord walked in that same experience. Until he finally went to the cross. He was at his weakest point, surrendering up to death. Knowing in that utter weakness that his Father would not forsake him, but raise him up in glory. And that same principle works with us. And this is why we take our cross up daily and follow the Lord. We die daily that the life of Christ will be manifest. We boast only in one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the central theme. This is where you stand, brothers and sisters. Particularly now in these closing days with the rise of of the beast system. It's rising. And if you cannot see this, then I ask you, go and ask God. I encourage you to do it, that he will show you. And he'll begin to show you that piece of plastic you hold in your hands, how you have to be on your guard with it, how you have to own it, and it doesn't own you. And there's the difference. Because we use technology, we're using it right now. But it's how it's used, and that is the point. So there we are, brothers and sisters, standing fast. And that's what we've been talking about today, is standing fast, not in yourself, not in your own strength, but in the power and strength of Almighty God. As he says in closing, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Amen.